It is that place in downtown Fresno where since 1955, Christ leads, people care, and lives have been changed. Welcome to Heartline, the weekly radio voice spotlighting the Evangel Home of Fresno. As I mentioned, since 1955, the Evangel Home ministering to women and children in crisis. Your Heartline host every week on the program is Jim Tuck. Here he is.
Thank you so much, Ken Adams. And as we open the program, we've had a lively discussion and unusually long in a pre-recording discussion, really having nothing to do with Roseanne,
but
about some things in general. And we're not necessarily going to go there today. But it's been good to discuss things of importance, especially some things that impact what goes on at Evangel Home. And we do want to talk about that a little bit. We had, as Sherry said, three Lulus in recent days, and there are some reasons for that. But we want to hear the rest of Roseanne's story first. Now, Roseanne, we started talking. Jerry, do you want to say something before take over?
I don't know. Just go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, feel free to jump in.
Okay. Anytime.
Last week, sister, we talked about a little bit about your background and the fact that you had been here before.
Correct.
And now you have come back. And since we talked last week, you have been accepted into the program.
That's not true.
She has applied for a program. She's been accepted into the opportunity to fill out an application, to pick up a pen and write down some stuff. So my bad.
Let me back up a bit and say, because that is a hard process, even to think about giving a year of your life to anybody else is a hard decision to come to. We take almost anybody in the crisis home, as Roseanne has experienced.
Yes, usually
we screen them well enough that we don't have issues, but last week we had some real issues. But then we have women like Roseanne who comes in who says, my life is not going the right way. I think I need more than this 28-day shelter.
Yes.
And they make, somehow God gets them, and they end up thinking something better. So they ask if they can apply for the apartments. We don't allow everyone to even apply, and some who start the application process, we do not allow to finish. We don't want women who are just looking for a place to live. That won't work. We want women who really are committed to turning their life around. They have a much better chance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process. Roseanne has just begun, filled out her papers, and was going to start class right now. And then you showed up.
So today was to be the first day of class.
My first day. I'm excited. And also I want to just add to what Jerry was saying, that you don't just get an application thrown out there. It's a process, and you really got to do the footwork also on your part so they can see that you're serious.
Yeah.
You know, it's steps by step. So you're not just going to say, hey, I'm going to move in, I got an apartment, whatever. You want to be able to still have that structure and discipline and follow rules. If you want to continue with some rules, that's the best place to go because you're guided, but yet you're on your own. So it's a little bit of both. And so I really like it because they don't just accept anybody, which makes you feel like you need to do the footwork.
Yeah, you can't just accept anybody. You've got people giving and giving and giving and teaching and training, and you can't scatter their focus with people who are not willing to learn and change.
And our fallback position is that we would rather err on the side of grace mm-hmm. than being legalistic. So mm-hmm. if we're not really, really sure about somebody for some reason, we'll usually give them a chance. Mm-hmm. And our bottom line, Jim, mm-hmm. with a woman in the program is always to say, could they hurt the program?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the women that don't succeed in Crossroads or the Garden, or who begin being real sneaky while they're in it, takes us a while to find it. Most of them don't hurt the program. They're hurting mm-hmm. themselves, and the women know it. So then you get into this cloud of gossip, which can be negative. But for the most part, they don't hurt the program.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person that we really need to keep screened out.
Yeah. The thought crosses my mind. I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here. Maybe we've got somebody who's tuned to this radio program and has no idea who we are, what we're talking about. We're at Evangel Home in downtown Fresno in Yosemite, and there's a crisis shelter for homeless women and their children for, generally speaking, a 28-day period of time so they can find a bed. Some women who are focused on change are allowed to apply for the Crossroads program, a 9-month-long life skills training program, live in the apartment building next door. Other women are in the garden who need a higher accountability factor. Some of them are sentenced there by jails and prisons rather than serve their time incarcerated. So, and that's also a 9-month-long life skills training program, but much higher degree of accountability. Those who complete the program, some are allowed into a community connection at transition time while they look for work or get into school or whatever their next step in their life is going to be. So that's what happens here under the auspices of Evangel Home, in case you're not aware of what's going on here. Now, we have Roseanne. Roseanne was here once before. She left because of the reasons she had to leave. She is back. But I want to ask you, Roseanne, at what point, what was the process that you realized, I need help. This isn't working and I want something different. I need to change.
Because I have been to church out there before, but here at this program, I just want to say that you're spiritually guided. You're loved. You don't feel like you're less than at all. So when you come here, you're willing, if you stay here even to the second, third day, which some people don't, like we've had an example, is because they're not ready. But I was losing who Roseanne was. And the time I was here before, I found me really quick, and I loved who I found into, and I had, it was amazing before, like I said. But when I came back again, I knew this is where the Lord has placed me, because I felt it in my spirit. And as far as me moving to the next step of wanting to do Crossroads was because... It doesn't have to necessarily mean that you're an alcoholic or on drugs to be out there and not know which way you need to go. I was in a relationship for 21 years with my husband. So therefore, you also learn here the skills to be able to function after you get the tools you need out there in the world without anybody but your Father in heaven. So that's where basically why I came to this program again, is because I knew I can get those skills. And I knew that they understood where I was coming from. You know, not just the alcohol or the drug abuse that people have. We are not able to function out there in the world sometimes if we don't have the knowledge. You know, basic things as far as paying rent, paying bills, learning how to deal with anger so that you don't run back out to use alcohol, learning how to get into your word daily so that you can keep that same path so that you are able to go to the next day knowing that you're walking the right path.
Yeah. Good. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing. Were you brought up well? Was your home a happy home, functional?
Pretty strict. My dad was strict. He worked, you know, 5 days a week. My grandparents owned vineyards out here on Blythe. So basically our weekends were made up. My dad had many brothers and sisters. So we were raised going to always maintain the – my dad always would go for the grapes on the weekends, make sure everything was going right. We did do family vacations due to having the vineyards, you know. Every September we went to Morro Bay, which I remember and loved. But also there was some dysfunctional things going on also. You know, my I want to say my father was a weekend drinker.
Oh.
And so that caused a little bit of stuff that I had hidden, which also here you get counseling, which you can bring out. So I'm also glad about that because there was things I was in denial about. But for the most part, I was with a strict family. My father was really strict. It was me and my brother till my mom remarried. And my stepdad, who I love, Jerry, took me to a different level of being raised. He wasn't strict, but he was also, you know, it was about work. It was about, you know, I remember at that point, I mean, I want to tell a little story. It was even down to reading the newspaper. He would make me read the newspaper every day because I didn't like to read. And he would sit me down at the table and tell me, excuse me, to read, and I learned to read fast and, you know, through a pace, but I just wanted to share that because I love it.
You read out loud to him.
I read out loud to him.
That is so important. Having an important person in your life that you get to read out loud to, even if you hate to read, you love that person and you want to be with him.
Exactly. And that changed me, even just that little reading skills. So much less, can you imagine the skills I'm going to be able to get here will help me. And that was at 15 years old that I still appreciate that. It wasn't as a little girl when my mom, it was 15. So every little moment that we get to learn something new, we cherish. And I'm 43, and so I'm excited to see what I can learn here so that I can take it to the world with me and share it with other people.
Now, you've got 7 kids.
I have 7 children, yes.
They're not children, they're grown children.
But you don't make them read to you?
No, actually, when they're not busy, you know, they try to fit me in. But, I have 5 girls, so if you can imagine how we take over conversations, me and my girls, we're lucky.
I don't have a clue how that works.
No, I just can't see that happening. Another little rabbit trail, that reading out loud will change your world, my listening friend.
You can read
out loud. We talk out loud.
Yeah. I tell people, you know, I do that for a living, is read commercials and narrations, blah, blah, blah. And people say, how do you do that? Well, you know what? I started when I was 11 years old reading out loud. And I read out loud almost every day to this day. It will change your world.
It changed mine.
Yeah. Mm. So it's not as important as loving God and loving people, but it's on a list of good disciplines to have for any person.
I want to ask you a question, because given the fact that you are in a business where your voice is important, reading out loud makes sense. Why does it make sense to somebody who isn't in that business, or why would someone read out loud just to read out loud?
It focuses you on what's being said. If you're reading silently, so often your mind will wander, and pretty soon you're putting in time, and you realize you've gone through a whole page and have no idea what was just there. Mm-hmm. If you're reading out loud, you can't miss a word. You begin to think with that character, or try to assimilate what does that word mean, or you know, that kind of thing. And so it's an education. And for people in my profession, you listen to yourself and think, is that how people talk, or am I affecting a kind of sing-song delivery that is going to be annoying and won't communicate? But anyway, it's helpful for everyone, I'm convinced.
I'm sorry. I feel that my stepdad used to tell me that. He'd say, the way you're reading is, are you going to speak to somebody going, and if I do?
Yeah. Well, let's, we had a rabbit trail. I want to go back. Thank you, Roseanne.
Oh,
and we're not done yet.
We have time?
Very briefly.
Okay, I just wanted to say that the donations here is also why I love this program, because they're well used. And I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I mean, we really appreciate all the way from the food to our being able to wash our hair, the conditioners, everything. Believe me, we enjoy and we're grateful. Every woman here is so grateful for those things that we are supplied with on a day, just to a simple toothbrush to our toothpaste.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, and that is important to remind people and to express gratitude to those who have caught that vision and are so helpful. And now we really don't have time to cover this, Jerry, but we had to.
No. Kind of what you would call random thoughts. Heartline random thoughts.
We're a little scattered today. We don't normally do that. So we're going to come back to the three Lulus another time.
Okay.
But very briefly, we've got maybe 20, 25 seconds. Immediate needs. Now, this weekend at Evangel Home.
Roseanne mentioned donations, and we're recording shortly before Thanksgiving. So we really need food of all kinds. Our food supplies, the shelves have never been empty as long as they have been this year. Any kind of canned food right now would be greatly appreciated. So canned food and turkeys.
All right, there you have it. There's your shopping list, my friend. Canned food and turkeys. Please, please help if you possibly can. Roseanne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wish you God's very best as you move into the
application
process. And Ken, it's your turn. Thank you, my listening friend, for joining us today on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Reach the Evangel Home by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Again, 264-4714. If you're online, and just about the entire human race is these days, find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. And please make it a point of joining us next time for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline, the Evangel Home, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955.